This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. A one-man show opens in Boston this week, How to Be a Rock Critic. It's about an actual rock critic who was extremely smart, extremely opinionated, extremely vulgar, and extremely self-destructive. His name was Lester Bangs, and he was an icon in the 1970s rock and roll scene. He died in the early 80s at the age of 33. Bangs was best known for his work with Cream. That's the rock magazine that was the more raw counterpart to Rolling Stone. His subjects range from the Beatles to the Ramones, from the Stooges to Lou Reed.
Plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side.
In this archival tape, Lester Bangs talks about Roxy Music's Brian Ferry.
Who is possibly the most vacuous excuse for a superstar that has yet been presented to us. Now, I became a big Roxy Music fan when they did Stranded, and after that it was my unfortunate experience to meet Mr. Ferry at a party where I wanted to go up and say, Brian Ferry, you're my hero, I love you, you know, a great record. This man was so bland.
The play about Lester Bangs opens Thursday at the Emerson Paramount Center's Black Box Theater. Bangs is played by actor Eric Jensen, who co-wrote the play. Here's Jensen as Lester Bangs, giving Bangs' take on Rolling Stone magazine.
My ideas for Rolling Stone? Blast the Beatles and all other overrated gimmick mongers kowtowed to by the rock press. Causes to Advance, Van Morrison, the Velvet Underground, the Mothers, the Youngbloods, and all great black jazzmen hustling and starving everywhere.
Lester Bangs inspired a generation of critics. Jim Sullivan counts himself as one of them. Jim, you spent your career writing primarily about rock. Why was Lester Bangs, and how was he so much an influence on you?
He was a confrontational writer, very funny writer, irreverent. He had mostly good taste, and he had a lot of passion. Whether he liked something or disliked something, he did not mince words, and he did not write reviews in what we do often happens today with a thumbs up or thumbs down. There was a complicated line of reasoning that went through much of what he wrote.
Could you follow it? I mean, it seems to me he's one of those people who's rather verbose, but I guess some people think kind of brilliant and very often offensive.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. Can you follow it? Sometimes, mostly. I think what he did, he wrote in what I'd call a seemingly free associative manner, and no doubt aided by whatever drugs he was on at the time. And he did make this crazy sense, sort of striving to capture the energy and rhythm and frenetic nature of the music he loved, which was the Lou Reed, the Velvet Underground, the Stooges, Alice Cooper, Brian Eno among them.
Did you say Lou Reed?
Yes, indeed.
I thought he despised Lou Reed.
He loved and hated Lou Reed. I think in many ways he wanted to be Lou Reed. He did have a band called Blurt, which was sort of Lou Reed-esque, that he formed in New York when he moved there. However, this is a little bit he wrote about Lou Reed, and it's just wonderful. In a 1975 interview profile that he did for Cream magazine, he described Reed as a completely depraved pervert and pathetic death dwarf and everything else you want to think he is. On top of that, he's a liar, a wasted talent, an artist continuing in flux, and a huckster selling pounds of his own flesh.
That's beautiful. And what did Lou Reed say in return? Because I know he didn't care much for Lester. Can't imagine why.
I think he just sort of shrugged it off and dismissed it, like not worth bothering with.
How was that kind of a sign of the times? How did that reflect what was going on at the time in the 70s?
Well, one thing was, you know, the hippie era was starting to pass, and Lester was not much of a hippie. He didn't like the hippie music. The hard music that he liked from Detroit, Alice Cooper, the Stooges, Bob Seger, and also, of course, the Jay Giles Band, not from Detroit, from Boston, but they were a band he loved for their rawness and their just the spark that they had on stage. So it was a transitional period for rock, and Lester was championing that stuff that was sort of anti-hippie. Or what you would call now pre-punk or proto-punk.
We're always looking for a good opportunity to play some Jay Giles. And you've got a great story. Let's hear a little bit first.
There's a great story about Lester Bangs joining the Jay Giles Band on stage, playing, I guess, what you call lead typewriter during the song Give It To Me in Detroit, Cobo Hall, 1976. And I talked to Seth Justman, Jay Giles' keyboard player, the other day about it, asking if he could remember, and he did, more or less. And this is what he told me. He said it was an organic thing that came out of an interview. He said Lester was probably joking but complaining that no one saw what he did behind closed doors as a writer, so the Giles singer, Peter Wolf, challenged him to come on stage and do his work. So they did it during Give It To Me, and Lester had a typewriter, a chair, banged away as the band played. And at the end of the song, Lester smashed the typewriter in good old rock and roll Pete Townsend style.
And this is a recording of that song. Unfortunately, we couldn't find any recording of that actual performance with the typewriter. Let's hear a little bit of the band Iggy Pop fronted, The Stooges.
Well, it's 1969, okay. Walk across the USA.
Lester Bangs really liked this group.
They were probably his number one group. They were from Detroit, which is where he had relocated to. They were raw, they were visceral, they were violent at times. They played music that really presaged, I guess, the punk rock era, before there was such a thing as punk rock. It was just the sheer physicality of it, the fact that Iggy threw himself into the performance, and Lester just loved it.
He died at the age of 33. It's hard to imagine how he could have made such an impression on so many people when he died so young. And he had a long, slow demise.
He proudly called himself a drunk at various points, and he was addicted to cough syrup, downers. It was not a pleasant ending. He also, as a writer for the Village Voice, where he was at the end of his career, he really wasn't very passionate about anything at that point. He had a hard time making up a top 10 list for the end of the year. He just was burned out on anything that was going on musically. I was sad to read him in that period, but it was the way he felt. He felt music had betrayed him.
What are you going to be looking for in the play about him?
Does it capture both the skill and the madness of who he is? I expect the play will probably highlight the more manic side of him more than the reflective side, I guess. And it should be highly entertaining. I mean, Lester was a very physical and confrontational guy, so I expect that will come through loud and clear.
Audiences can see and hear for themselves at the Emerson Paramount Theater downtown Boston. The one-man play How to Be a Rock Critic runs Thursday through Saturday this week and again next week. You can find details on the artery portion of our website, WBUR.org. And Jim Sullivan will be part of the discussion after the show on Saturday, the 13th of May, about the current state of music criticism. The talk is free, and you can go to it even if you didn't attend the performance that night. Jim Sullivan, writer for The Artery, thank you.
Thank you for having me.